Hey, welcome to another episode of the 343 Podcast. This is episode 418. It's going to be a quick one. I think it runs roughly around 15 minutes or so. And it's an extract from an episode that we recorded on January 24th, 2026. So about a month and a half ago. And I thought I would revisit that just for folks out there who really want to learn and get some insight into the professional world, specifically how do agencies work? How do agents work? How do players get the transfers that they want? What are all the sticky situations that exist? And all of this is done through the lens and the context that Josh Sargent was experiencing back then. I thought I'd bring home some receipts for you to see that ultimately it played out the way that I said it was going to play out. And it's not bragging or anything. It's just, you know, many of you guys haven't experienced this world. And me and my group have been operating in this space for the better part of 10 years, having had countless experiences, hundreds, if not thousands of negotiations under our belt. It's important, I think, even if your kid never becomes a pro, you never become a pro, you never cover maybe the pro game intimately, or if you do, good God, let's understand things a little bit better, because by the looks of it, how it's covered here in the United States, there's a lot of misconceptions about how things work in that world. I mentioned Filippo Silva in this episode just as, not as an example, but, you know, it was during this time of turmoil in the Josh Sargent saga, and he made some X posts on there that are good, but also a little bit potentially misleading. And you know that I promoted his work and I continue to promote his work, and I believe you should all be following Tactical Manager. Very knowledgeable person, especially when compared to the mainstream media here in the United States, which are an absolute disaster, and almost everybody else covering the game here in the United States, absolute disaster. So you should go follow him. So all respect to him. I just wanted to make that little note here that we are using one of his ex posts to kind of launch the discussion. So I hope you enjoy this one. Here we go. Short episode today, guys. So short ads. 343coaching.com is for coaches. 343masterclass.com is for parents. And 7v7coaching.com is for coaches in the 7v7 format. Go there, sign up right away, and get on a trajectory that actually will work for you. All right, here we go.
You just sent me a post from Tactical Manager about Josh Sargent, the whole Josh Sargent situation. And I just wanted to pick your brain on and get your thoughts. He says, Josh Sargent, moving to MLS in his prime isn't really that odd. This is a player that only had any success in the second division of England. The way he handled the situation is the problem. Refusing to play to force a transfer is not the way to go. Complete lack of professionalism and simply a terrible way to leave a club that has always been there for him. Agree? Disagree, Gary? What are your thoughts?
Thought number one is nobody except from the player, the club, and his inner circle know what's actually going on. So it always irks me when fans or people from the outside chime in and give their opinions. And it's good to give your opinion, but to give definitive sort of conclusions really irks me, Benny. Really irks me. You remember the whole Gio Reyna saga when he wasn't playing at Dortmund and people were saying, oh, he needs to get out of there. He should switch agents or something. And then the guy switches agents and he goes to Nottingham Forest, and in Nottingham Forest, he doesn't play shit either at all. Oh, it was a terrible move. Poorly advised. He should have never gone there. The same people who were saying he needs to get out of Dortmund and and that it was an amazing move when he got to Nottingham Forest. Didn't play. Then he goes back to Dortmund, doesn't play again. Then he goes to Mönchengladbach, changes agents again. He goes to Borussia Mönchengladbach. Now at Gladbach, he barely plays also. You know what I mean? So, and everybody's throwing their two cents at it. Fine, your fans, I get it, no problem. But it's annoying if they're influencing people to thinking X, Y, or Z. So that, put that, table that aside. With the Josh Sargent thing, it's very much a situation where people don't understand that players and clubs have an adversarial relationship fundamentally. A player wants to maximize his wages and improve his contract terms to the maximum and make moves as he sees fit and wants to play whenever he wants to play. And the club, on the flip side, wants to minimize the player's wages, wants to have the contract's terms to their benefit, and wants to control the player completely and thoroughly no matter what. So fundamentally an adversarial relationship. So now it's coming out in the news, or it's reported that Josh Sargent basically refused to play a match, a real match, to try to force a transfer to happen to Toronto. These sorts of things are natural. It happens all the time. Just because it's not reported all the time doesn't mean it's not happening all the time. It happens all the time, Benny. What do you do as an employee, as a person, if you want to leave your current employer and go somewhere else, and your current employer says, no, you can't go, or is playing hardball that you can't go? Well, you're going to do everything in your power to try to force your employer to let you go. Okay. And then if you're on the employer side of the equation, put yourself in their shoes. They've paid millions of dollars and they paid massive wages. And here you've got a player who's trying to force your hand by not playing, and you're under contract, by not playing, force your hand to let you go. If you're the employer, you're like, go fuck yourself. You know what I mean? So it's like, is anybody in the wrong? I don't know. Is anybody in the right? I don't know. But this is the reality of the situation of club football. Happens all the time, Benny. All the time.
Yeah, obviously, you don't know the details that you just stated. We're not in the inner circle. We don't know the matter-of-fact details. But how much of it is Josh Sargent himself making that decision? Or is it his agents in his ear and saying, hey, you know, Josh, I think maybe don't play this game? Like, how much decision is Josh making here?
Yeah, ultimately, I think, look, it's supposed to be a team, right? Agent and player are supposed to be one unit and on the same side at all times. And they have to have, you have to have discussions, open communication. What do we really want? And communicate to the player. These are the pros and cons of every possible action that you're going to take. And as an agent, as a representative, if you truly feel that the club is going to F you, right, then you have no choice but to do everything in your power to force a situation. So by and large, a player usually will follow the advice of the agent in these circumstances. If the agent says, hey, man, look, the only way you're getting out of here is if, I don't know, let's say you have a PK, just miss the PK on purpose. Or you just do something so horrendous that you're basically forcing their hand. That usually is the final straw to get to this point. So they must be at the final straw if these reported things are actually true. They probably tried everything under the sun, and it's gone to this point. Now, we also have to appreciate that Norwich, in this case, the club that would be the potential seller, you're trying to maximize the transfer fee. So you in order to do that, you need to play hardball. And in order to do that, you need to take it down all the way to the very last day of the transfer window many a times to force the potential purchasing club to come to the table with, like, fuck it, this is my final offer. All my chips are on the table here if they really want the player. It's a game of chicken, Benny. So that's why you see so many transfers being executed on the very last day of the window, because both clubs are trying to maximize their situation. You don't just do a deal right out the gate in the very beginning unless all the stars align.
Yeah, that makes sense, Gary. What about, what are your thoughts on Tack's comment, how Norwich showed him so much love and they've always been there for him? Do you think that holds any weight?
I mean, they were always playing him. You know, he was a starter, played every match. I mean, from the outside, it seems like he's been treated well. If a player's been playing games, you have to presume that's true.
Yeah, definitely. And it seems like Gary, his move to MLS, I think, is pretty much already secured. And so the fact that he's not playing in these games, it's like, you know, it's not a big deal, but if his move wasn't secure, right, and another club in Europe, right, obviously he's not saying Europe, but another club in Europe sees the fact that, hey, this guy's refusing to play, like, now we don't really want him in our system. Is the fact that you think he's already going to MLS, does that give him more power to say, like, nah, I'm going to choose not to play in this game today? Just because MLS basically is already telling him, like, we're going to do everything that we can to get you. You already have a deal on the table.
Yeah, well, the move's not secured. The club with the power is not MLS. The club with the power, or the entity with the power, is Norwich. They own the player. That's why many a times I say I call this whole thing a slave trade, right? Yes, the player entered consensually into a binding contract to get paid this much for this amount of time. It's all consensual. But if you think about all the terminology, we're selling you, we're buying you, you know, we're transferring you. We're like, it's that kind of language. And right, and we own you, right? Right now, Norwich owns Josh Sargent. They have the power. It doesn't matter if there's a deal on the table from MLS or not. If Norwich wanted to, if they wanted to be dicks, okay, you're stuck here for the remainder of your contract. I don't know if I think it's like 2 years left on your contract. You're stuck here and you're playing with the U21s or not at all.
Yeah.
And many a times clubs do this sort of stuff to that's their leverage too. We will destroy your career unless you kind of do what we tell you to do.
That's crazy, man. So the,
Because you effectively destroy a player's career. You tank his value if for 2 years you don't play the player, or you just banish him from first team action altogether. You destroy him.
Yeah, that's wild, man. That's why it's important for a player to have a good agent and an agent that's going to fight for him and work for what he wants to. Because I can see a situation where an agent fucks something up and transfer doesn't happen, and what you just mentioned, right? They're going to block him for 2 years or something like that. Sucks for the player, dude.
It's a complicated puzzle. There's so many moving pieces, Benny. And it's always like a game of chicken, because does Norwich want to really do that? No, because there's legitimately $10, $15, $20 million on the table for the club that is Norwich. So if they opted to go that route, well, then you lose out on $15, $20 million and all the players' wages until the end of the contract. They don't want to do that. And right. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows you don't actually want to do that. So again, this is why it comes down to the last day of the transfer window many a times. Because at the end, that's when you know the truth. Where's everybody actually?
Yeah, that's insane. So what if it comes down to, Gary, it's the last day of the transfer window and Norwich presents something that's fucking like completely fucked up, you know? Does Josh stay or he still bounces?
What do you mean presents something? I don't know. I don't know what you mean.
Or I mean, they're not going to allow him to basically get what he wants from MLS.
What's the problem?
So he'll have to stay then, huh?
He'll have to stay. And look. And if you're the player, you're stuck there for at least another 6 months until the summer transfer window. Okay. So you as a player now, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue pouting, or which destroys your career because they won't play you if you continue pouting and doing all this sort of these antics? Or are you going to just shut up, be a good little boy, a good little slave, and play for them and work as hard as you possibly can and try to get back on their good side?
Yeah.
You're probably going to do option B, and no, the club for sure. And the club knows that you're going to do option B.
Yeah. Got no choice. I think the move will happen, Gary. I mean, I think it's pretty
it will.
Sad.
It will.
Like you said, they're waiting for the last day for the
transfer. It will. It'll happen. Yes, it'll happen.
So let me ask you this. You know, some people would argue like Josh Sargent's still young, kind of in the prime of his career. Is coming back to MLS, is that a career ending move for him in the sense that he's never going to make it in Europe again?
Yeah, it's over. It's over. He's cashing out.
Basically coming to retire now.
Yeah, you're cashing out. It's effectively like you and I going to play co-ed, you know, over 30 soccer at the local YMCA at this point. Yeah, you're cashing and getting paid massive money. You're cashing out. You're cashing your chips in, dude. Done.
Yeah.
Hey, fine. That's fine. It's okay. I don't blame the kid.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, he still has a shot at. I mean, it's pretty likely he's going to be on the national team too, right? Especially with this move. This pretty secure.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's why too, Gary, when Ricky Puig moved from Spain to come to MLS. And to me, that was, I'm like, you're kind of just giving up. Obviously, he's cashing out, making good money, but it's never going to make it in Europe again. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think he was 22, 23, something like that. Like way too young to come over here. But I don't know. Every player is different. Every human is different. Not everybody is Kobe Bryant, right? There's a whole bunch of average pro NBA players. Like there's a whole bunch of average pro soccer players. This is just a fact. Not everybody has an outrageous hunger to crush it no matter what. Not everybody is willing to sacrifice a personal life and family and everything else, or your Netflix every night, or eating or having a beer. You know, not everybody's cut out for that, man. They're humans just like we're humans. And they just like, it's just not for me. I'm just going to cash in my chips, they're probably offering him, I don't know, $6 million a year. Who knows what they're offering this fool to play over here. I make $6 million a year and chill. I'm going to be a starter no matter what in MLS, especially if they're paying me this kind of money. I'm American. You know, I'm going to be all in American stadiums. People are going to like me. And, you know, my family is secure for the rest of their life. And after I retire from playing, I won't have to work in anything. I don't have to go back to school. I don't have to be a broadcaster. I don't have to start my own podcast. I don't have, you know what I mean? They don't have to, you're done. You're good.
Yeah, true. I don't know, dude. You might see him join the Unfiltered podcast.
So, anyway, that's kind of like what I wanted to share. I wanted to just say that this is fundamentally how it works in the professional game. Clubs and players are not friends. Okay. They are fundamentally have opposing interests in most respects. Okay. In many respects, they're aligned because if the team wins and you as a player are doing well, then the club is doing well and you as a player are going to do well. So those things are kind of in alignment. And if you play well and you work hard for the club, and then you're obviously going to be platformed and elevated and your evaluation as a player goes up, and then your career is on a good trajectory, you know, for your next move and so on and so forth. But these sorts of situations happen all the time where if a player wants to leave, okay, you want to leave? We got to get paid for you to leave. If we don't feel we're getting paid appropriately, then I'm sorry. You know, we're not going to let you go. That's usually the stance. And the player's like, fuck, if you're not going to let me go, then I'm going to be a piece of shit, you know, employee.
Yeah. What's funny, Gary, is that I think myself and a lot of people included kind of had no idea the behind the scenes of football and what it takes to actually move players and transfer players. And I remember when you started working as an agent and you would tell me about your meetings or different types of stuff that clubs are coming to you with. And I was just kind of mind blown because you never realize what is actually going on to move the pieces, like make the machine move. It's pretty wild, like everything that goes on behind the scenes.
No, crazy. And what's wild, Benny, is that none of us talk about it.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it because it's a very clandestine sort of operation. It's a lot of dirty shit going on behind the scenes. So imagine if you're Josh's agent or anyone's agent that happens to be going through this sort of stuff, you can't just come out and talk shit about the club, or you yourself as the agent can't go and try to force these sorts of things to happen publicly, or later, years later, even talk about it, you know, and divulge information about the inner workings of things, because then what? Then clubs will be like, what the, I'm not going to work with this fool, because if I work with this fool, he might air out the dirty laundry that this business is all about. So that's why everybody shuts the hell up.
Yeah. Well, I'll be looking forward to your book when it comes out in 10, 15 years about the dark side of.
Well, that's it for today, guys. Thank you for listening. A reminder for coaches, you can get both the free and premium coaching programs at 343coaching.com. Don't let anyone tell you your teams can't win by playing dominant possession-based football while also developing individual players to the highest levels. Nonsense. We've proved it at every single level, and so have hundreds of serious member coaches across the country. Now that we've moved on to the pro level, we're delivering everything we've learned in the program. Don't wait and continue delaying getting on a proven path. And parents, 343masterclass.com is where you want to go to get a working compass for navigating the American soccer landscape with your player. It's pretty bad out there, but let our experience guide you. Lastly, if you're coaching 7v7, we've got you covered there as well. Go to 7v7coaching.com. Until next time, cheers everyone, and keep building.